Well, good morning. It's Jeff Wine, host of The Car Show here on Sun Sounds Radio. Once again, we have an action-packed show for you today. Going to catch you up on the latest and greatest of the world of the automobile. Well, last weekend, folks, the NASCAR finals and the championship runs were at Phoenix Raceway. We talked last weekend about the trucks and the Xfinity Series. Well, I've got the results for the Cup Series, and wow, it's an amazing one. We'll also talk about coming up here in a couple weeks, Las Vegas for the Formula One race. Next weekend, we've got the Good Guys Hot Rod Show. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Catch you up on what's going on with gas prices. Of course, we'll talk some unusual automotive news, I'm sure. And of course, we'll talk about our friends over at Car Talk. You know what to do. Fasten those seatbelts nice and tight. It's going to be a fast ride on The Car Show. Little NASCAR news, and the headline reads, Logano holds off a charging Blaney for his third Cup Series title at Phoenix Raceway. Well, Joey Logano came into the weekend's NASCAR Cup Series Championship decider in Phoenix confident that his experience and preparation would ultimately make the difference. And you know what? He was right. Logano nailed the restart with 52 laps remaining, vaulted from 5th to 1st in 2 laps, and held off a teammate, Ryan Blaney, surging on the closing laps for his third championship and to give Team Penske its third title in 3 years. Quote, to be able to race Blaney to the end, it was fun, Logano said. But honestly, I knew he was going to be our toughest competition going into the weekend. I said to our guys, Blaney's going to have the speed. We've got to beat him on the details, and that's where we'll have the advantage over them. But the speed, no. He's got it turned up pretty high. Well, everything worked out well, and the details in the end, the restart and getting out there managing, that was really the difference. Now, his day wasn't without a couple curveballs. A slight delay in the right front tire during a pit stop cost him 4 spots during the first pit stop. Later, his jackman took ill and needed to be removed from the pit wall, prompting an inter-team Penske scramble that resulted in Austin Cindric's jackman moving across to the number 22 car. Logano's path in the playoff was initially closed when he missed the cutoff round in round 12. He also reopened when Hendrick's Motorsports' Alex Bowman was disqualified from the Charlotte race after his car failed post-race technical inspection. The Phoenix win was Joey Logano's 4th of the season, and the title now places him in some rare air with Lee Petty, David Pearson, Cale Yarborough, Darrell Waltrip, and Tony Stewart all as 3-time champions. It was just an amazing race to watch, and I couldn't believe it. I thought Ryan Blaney was going to run him down and take it and win the race at the end, but Logano held him off as Ryan Blaney finishes in 2nd in the race and 2nd in the playoffs. So Team Penske goes 1-2 in the championship this year, their 3rd championship in a row. Joey Logano in 2022, Ryan Blaney in 23, and now Joey Logano again in 24. William Byron finished in 3rd and 3rd in the championship, and Tyler Reddick finished in 6th for 4th in the championship, and those were the cars that were running for the NASCAR Cup Championship out at Phoenix Raceway last weekend. So congratulations to Joey Logano. He is your 2024 NASCAR Cup Series champion. Well, the headline reads, after 16 years, Stuart Haas is calling it quits. Smoke rises, read the signs adoring the barrier signs outside of Stuart Haas Racing's haulers in the paddock in Phoenix over the weekend. Over the team's 16-year history, there have been errors that the phrase proven true, starting with Smoke himself, Tony Stewart, who's already a 2-time champion with Joe Gibbs when he got itchy feet, reportedly because Gibbs's imminent switch to Toyota, which clashed with Tony Stewart's loyalty to Chevrolet. And he moved to Haas CNC Racing for 2009, a deal that included him taking half ownership of the team. Then reborn as Stuart Haas Racing, he adopted the number 14 as an homage to AJ Foyt and gave the team and his new partner Gene Haas their first win in the 2009 Sprint All-Star Race in Charlotte. A proper points victory win followed not soon long after in Pocono, and additional victories at the Coke 600, Watkins Glen, and Kansas. Tony finished his first year as a team owner with 6th in the points. The following season brought a couple more wins and a slight change overall, resulting in finishing in seventh. Stewart rebounded in 2011 with back-to-back wins at Chicagoland and New Hampshire, followed by a hot streak at the end of the season to finish the last four races in first, second, and first, delivering his third career title and Stewart Haas Racing its first. Tony Stewart's results started to drop off after then, and teammate Ryan Newman added three victories to Stewart Haas Racing total over the five-year spell. The best finish was a team ninth in 2009. Well, the salvation came in the form of Kevin Harvick, who landed at Stewart Haas Racing in 2014 after splitting with Richard Childress Racing, a move that immediately delivered him his first championship and Stewart Haas Racing's its second. The last of the Cup Series level, although Cole Custer did add an Xfinity Series championship in 2023. Well, smoke rises, but eventually it disperses. As a result, the results and the wins became harder to achieve, and so did the sponsorships and the manufacturer's support. Stewart himself began to dispersing to a degree with his sprint car teams, as well as his NHRA program filling out the space in his schedule that had previously been allotted to NASCAR. Then in May, Tony Stewart announced that Stewart Haas Racing would be closing down at the end of 2024. After the race on Sunday, the team itself, the haulers, the cars, and all the personnel will work side by side over a decade, will disperse as well. It may seem like it's just another day, but when we found out the news, it was crazy, and right up till the very end. Ryan Briscoe, who said that he was barring something extraordinary, he will go down as Stewart Haas Racing's final winner in the Cup Series. To know all this is coming to an end is definitely bittersweet. I was telling the guys last weekend at Martinsville that we're just 8 days away from the company literally locking its doors and being able to bring those cars home. Would have been nice to sit on the pole and give them a win. Briscoe, who got his start at Stewart Haas Racing in the Xfinity Series as a part-time driver in 2018, was running a black helmet this weekend, which was emblazoned with the messages from the rest of the team on the number 14 to keep it all together before he starts to replace Martin Truex Jr. at Joe Gibbs Racing, and it was Martin Truex Jr.'s final race as a full-time driver as well. So it was pretty tough to think about the fact that Tony Stewart and Stewart Haas Racing will no longer be an entity, but they are keeping Haas is keeping one of the charters himself, and they're going to start their team as Haas Factory Racing Team, and they will compete next year in the Cup Series. It has not been announced yet who is going to purchase the remaining charters that Stewart Haas Racing has. Of course, we'll give you those details as soon as we find out. But thanks, Smoke and Gene Haas, for a great run with Stewart Haas Racing. Goodbye, and thank you for the memories. Hamlin, whose team 2311 that he's co-owner with, battled for a championship this year with Tyler Reddick. They came in fourth in the championship, and Hamlin continues to drive for Joe Gibbs and has for 20-plus years now. And the headline reads, Hamlin and FedEx exchange goodbyes ahead of the Cup finale in Phoenix. Well, Denny Hamlin and FedEx indicated via social media on Sunday afternoon that the partnership will end with the conclusion of the NASCAR final race this year. Hamlin posted a 47-second video captured Thank You FedEx, in which he expressed his thoughts over a highlight reel of their time together. The video included victories and defeats since the beginning of their tenure in 2005, so 2005. Want to say thank you, FedEx, for being there from the start. All the wins, all the losses. Thank you, FedEx, for letting me always make a difference and helping this kid from Virginia's dreams come true. Thank you, FedEx, for everything. The official FedEx social media account responded to Hamlin's post saying, what a ride it's been, Denny and the entire Joe Gibbs team. It's been an incredible 20 years of racing with the best FedEx team ever. Will always be cheering you on. Joe Gibbs Racing has not responded to a request to confirm the sponsor's departure after FedEx is steadily decreasing their presence on the number 11 in recent years. Of Denny Hamlin's 54 Cup Series wins, 47 of those came with FedEx as the primary sponsor of the car. So the FedEx livery has been great luck for Denny Hamlin, and what a ride. Thanks, FedEx, for being a part of the NASCAR series. Well, last week, folks, we lost one of the greatest NASCAR drivers ever, Bobby Allison, 1937 to 2024. A good old Southern boy who came from one of NASCAR's greatest drivers, Bobby Allison's life of tragedy and triumph once perfectly described by Mike Joy as one of tremendous courage, incredible perseverance, and unwavering faith. Allison died on Saturday. He was 86. With deep sadness, the family of Bobby Allison announces his passing at the age of 86 in an Allison family statement. He passed away peacefully at home on November 9th, 2024, surrounded by family. He had been in declining health over the past few years, but continued to give back to the sport he loved. Bobby was the ultimate fan's driver. He thoroughly enjoyed spending time with his fans and would stop and sign autographs and have conversations with them everywhere he went. He was a dedicated man, a friend, and a devout Catholic. Easily selected into the second class of the NASCAR Hall of Fame in 2011, Allison was one of the most popular competitors, a member of the notorious Alabama Gang. Allison is just one of the five drivers to have ever won the Daytona 500 three times or more. "Well, I did win 85 times," Allison said during his Hall of Fame speech, refuting NASCAR's record of 84 victories. "Scout's Honor, 85 times. I'm just trying to put it into perspective a little bit. 9 different brands, the cars, 14 different race teams, and the way I look at it now, I did a pretty good job most of the time. But boy, I couldn't keep a job." Allison was finally recognized by NASCAR for his 85th win just last month. NASCAR Chairman and CEO Jim France and Senior Advisor Mike Helton visited Allison in person with the good news. Bobby Allison personified the term racer in a statement from France. He also said he'd best known as one of the winningest driver in NASCAR history. "The impact of the sport extends far beyond the record books. As a driver, he won races and championships across several NASCAR divisions. But as the leader of the famous Alabama Gang, Bobby connected with fans in a profound manner. In most significant ways, he gave it all to our sport. On behalf of the France family and all of NASCAR, I offer my deepest condolences to Bobby's family, friend, and families on the loss of a NASCAR giant." Named one of NASCAR's 50 greatest drivers in 1998, Allison captured the Premier Series championship in 1983. It was long overdue. Allison had finished second or third in the championship hunt on 6 different occasions. He drove for numerous owners throughout his career of nearly 25 years: Cotton Owens, Holman Moody, Roger Penske, Bud Moore, and Harry Rainier. He sits fourth in the all-time win list. One of the greatest Allison memories occurred at Daytona International Speedway. The first came in 1975 in a race that he helped put NASCAR on the map. After brother Donnie Allison and Cale Yarborough had been involved in a last lap accident, Bobby pulled up to the scene to make sure everybody was okay. The race was being broadcast live on CBS, and then it captured an event that was seen around the country. A brawl broke out that left broadcaster Ken Squire exclaiming, now the famous, "There's a fight" line. All three drivers had different versions of how it started, but ultimately NASCAR leveling fines against all of them. The second moment was Allison's third Daytona 500 winner. The 1988 victory made Allison's racing's oldest winner. He also did holding off a charging Davey Allison. The father and son finished first and second and celebrated their victory together. "I went low and tried to fool him, but he was too strong," Davey said. The victory was the last of Allison's career. A vicious crash at Pocono Raceway in June of that year ended his career. After Chauncey C. McComan T-boned Allison after he'd already crashed from a blown tire, Allison had to be extricated from his car and was airlifted to the local hospital. He survived the accident, but it left him with memory issues. Throughout the remainder of his career, Allison admitted he did not remember the crash or the Daytona 500 win. He only knew that others had told him or he had watched on tape. Allison and his late wife, June, raised 4 children, Davey, Clifford. Allison both raced, Clifford losing his life in a crash during practice at Michigan International Speedway in August 1992. And son Davey was also killed in a helicopter crash 11 months later. June passed away in December of 2015 following complications from surgery. "You know, the world, I hope you'll never know that it's cruel to any other family again," Allison said in 2011 about his children. "But it happened, and Judy and I, we survived. People helped us and supported us, and we really appreciated that." So Davey Allison, one of NASCAR's greatest drivers, also drove at the Indy 500 in 1973 for Roger Penske, one of the greatest race car drivers ever. Bobby, thank you for the memories and rest in peace. That was a nice recap of the Barrett Jackson event in the Scottsdale Independent. And the evolving taste of Barrett Jackson collectors, the Scottsdale Fall Auction shows trends toward drivable classics. Well, the collector car market has long resembled a blue-chip stock market portfolio with rare and pristine vehicles that are wrapped in plastic and stashed away and gain tremendous value over time before being dealer-prepped for their next auction. But today's classics, well, they're shifting gears. Many car collectors are more inclined to reap the dividends from their assets to get behind the wheel and embrace their vehicles for their functionality. At Barrett Jackson, CEO Craig Jackson observed, "It's a buyer's market for those seeking a thrill of the open road. It's becoming a trend across the board. People want to go out and use these vehicles. It seems that these cars now are more popular." The shift in the mentality is on display at Barrett Jackson 2024 Fall Auction, where buyers flock to sport utility vehicles designed not for show, but for the open road. The Chevy Blazer and the Ford Bronco, both rugged icons of the American off-road, is now leading a movement, drawing in younger generations of buyers who grew up in the back seats of these vehicles. Well, according to the classic car data aggregator ClassicCar.com, 1970 K5 Blazer has increased in value a whopping 122% since 2020, as throngs of collectors show their love for these boxy, distinctive early off-road vehicles. The highest recorded value on the first day of the 2024 auction was a 1988 K5 Custom Blazer SUV, known for its capabilities. Also was designed to compete with the Ford Bronco and the International Harvester. This Blazer sold for $75,000, and the remainder of the weekend, they sold 15 other Blazers between $18,000 and $154,000. A total of 40 custom restored modified Blazers and over 60 Ford Broncos were sold earlier this year in Scottsdale, with the highest price reaching a staggering $330,000. Even Phoenix royalty like Devin Booker from the Phoenix Suns can be seen ripping around the North Country in his custom K5 Chevy Blazer. Former Arizona Cardinal cornerback Patrick Peterson shows off his prized custom Chevy C10s. And who doesn't like a vintage 70-71 era Blazer? Wow, it's a cool car, according to Steve Davis, who's the president of Barrett Jackson. Between the Blazer and the Bronco, there's always going to be a competition, and those cars just ring the bell. And it's not just the thrill of the open road that's driving these sales. Nostalgia also plays a critical role. Collector car trends are ever-changing with the winds of popular culture. But Jackson said consumer demand for these vehicles is largely tied to a generational preference. This generation grew up in the backs of SUVs, Jackson said. Gen Xers and millennials, they like the cars they grew up in. We've sold many of these high-end Broncos to people who remember they grew up in these. To these generations, the appeal of affordable sport utility vehicle like Chevy Tahoe, GMC Yukon, Toyota Land Cruiser, Ford Explorer, and others are tied to their childhood. They were the friendly, bulky comparison vehicles that seemed to go up forever. They were for road trips, camping adventures, and off-road memories. Everything is cyclical in terms of what classic means, and it means differences to every generation. As younger buyers are fueled by the nostalgia to seek out cars they can actually drive, Barrett Jackson is increasingly showcasing collectibles that are meant to be enjoyed, not just admired. From car rallies to neighborhood car events, community and automobile clubs, Jackson describes this trend as a healthy thing, particularly because it fulfills the wishes of the manufacturers. If you don't drive them, they're not going to be happy. And I agree, these vehicles are designed to be used, not just stored and admired. Next weekend out at Westworld of Scottsdale is the Good Guys Rod and Custom Show. That's presented by Speedway Motors, and that's going to be November 22nd through the 24th. And you can go online to good-guys.com for more information. But we'll talk a little bit about some of the cool things and fun things that you can do out at this event. Over 3,000 rods and customs and classic muscle cars, imports, and trucks through 1999. There's going to be an all-new square body syndicate with GM trucks, as well as a 2024 top 12 cars and trucks of the year. You're going to have the Good Guys Autocross featuring 32 cars in the Duel in the Desert, a Nitro Thunderfest sponsored by Summit Racing. They're going to have a drag exhibition, a burnout contest, a huge swap meet and car corral for cars for sale, and that's always one of my favorite things to do. There's also going to have a model and pedal car show. There's going to be a kids zone with free arts and crafts and games and prizes. And kids can the kids make and take presented by Auto World and our friends over at McGuire's. And also, they're going to have guest shuttles from the parking area as well. This is a fun event, folks, and tickets are anywhere from $20 to $30 for this event. And you can go to good-guys.com for more information. And I'll have some more information and some results of some of the things I saw out at Good Guys for you next week. Well, let's talk about a little unusual news that has quite difficult to swallow because of the issues we're having. Millions spent on technology, but no drop in Arizona wrong-way driving crashes. And this is from AZ Family. The wrong-way driver crashes are far too common still in the Valley. Arizona Department of Transportation has spent $4 million installing technology to detect and deter wrong-way drivers and to warn others about oncoming traffic. But the difference, is it improving safety at all? Well, the thermal detection system is supposed to alert Department of Public Safety and troopers quickly. But the wrong-way driver early last week made a crash, and it made it 6 miles down Interstate 17 going in the wrong direction before crashing head-on into another car. Traffic cameras caught the driver heading south in the northbound lanes. This one was located more centrally where a lot of our units are, so I think there were at least three units that were shown to be very close, according to DPS Sergeant Eric Andrews. Despite ADOT's wrong-way driver detection system, it was motorists who actually alerted DPS. Our first initial notifications went through a 911 caller saying, hey, there's a wrong-way driver. The system has been in place for 6 years now and has detected hundreds of wrong-way drivers. However, the analysis of crash data said the number of wrong-way drivers on I-17 has been fairly consistent. 2019, it was 6. 2020, it was 5. 2021, it was 4. 2022, it was back to 6. And 2023, it was 3. Now, according to ADOT, they tell us the system can reduce risk, but it can't prevent wrong-way drivers. DPS says their best tactic is DUI enforcement. We're all teamed up with ADOT and the government's highway safety for extra funding for DUI saturation controls and DUI enforcement. In Thursday's crash, it's unknown whether the driver was under influence, but we asked Andrews what could be done to cut down on wrong-way drivers. Well, I'm sure the engineers out there would come up with something new, like a flux system, but you have to speak to the engineers to see if there's anything new. The statewide data shows there hasn't been much of a change in the wrong-way driver situation. Spike strips on the on-ramps have often been brought up in stopping wrong-way drivers, but those are only designed for low-speed traffic, and that could cause more crashes. So, I don't know. I've never heard of a town having as many wrong-way driving crashes as we do here in Arizona, and we spent all this money, and we still aren't making a big difference. Next weekend, it's the Heineken Las Vegas Grand Prix for the Formula One race cars. That starts on Thursday the 21st with two practice sessions, as well as qualifying on Friday, November 22nd, and the race is going to be on Saturday, November 23rd. That is coming up in just 9 days right now. And then I'm actually doing my show a little bit early since I'm going to be traveling to South Carolina this week. So if you want to check out the Las Vegas Grand Prix Formula One, that is going to be on ESPN and ABC television. That's going to be on Saturday night, November 23rd. And I believe that's going to start local time at around 9 p.m. Yeah, 9 o'clock at night. I got to go to the race and the events last year. That's just a little bit too late for my biorhythms, but certainly on television, I'll be looking forward to it. Formula One in Las Vegas next weekend. Gas prices with our friends at AAA right now. The average gas price, $3.08 a gallon. Our friends over in New Mexico, $2.92. Let's take a look at California, $2.50 a gallon, and Nevada at $3.78. Let's see what's going on here with our gas prices here in Arizona. Well, right now, the least expensive gas, Quick Trip at 5850 West Greenway Avenue at $2.59. The Sinclair Station in Casa Grande at $2.61. The Chevron Station in Eloy at $2.63. And the Molson Oil at Glendale Avenue at $2.68 a gallon. I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and they said, what do you think is the most reliable car? And that reminded me of a Car Talk segment that was featured several months ago, and I thought it would be good to resurrect it again. Dear Car Talk, are Volvos considered reliable cars like Acura and Lexus or even Genesis? Thanks for considering my question, and that's from Eric. Well, there are three things that every Volvo owner believes, Eric. Volvos are reliable, Volvos are cheap to repair and maintain, and my Volvo is the only exception to rule number one and number two. Now, these cars are not known for their reliability. They're known for their durability and their emphasis on safety, and increasingly they're known for luxury or near luxury. My wife has had several of their wagons and loves them because they're safe, comfortable, and meet her needs. She often carries our dogs around, and she doesn't want to drive a truck or an SUV. And we're both comforted by their safety record and their crash test results. But reliable? Well, not compared to Toyota, Lexus, Honda, and Acura. Now, Consumer Report does a lot of research when it talks about repairs and reliability experience of all types of cars. If you look at their most recent rankings, Lexus, Toyota, Honda, and Acura make up four of their top five. Surprisingly, to me, Mini came in fifth. Genesis around the middle of the pack, and Volvo, well, actually toward the bottom, 25 out of 30 brands. So while all cars have gotten more reliable over the years, I think objectively you'd have to say Volvos are not reliable like Acura and Lexus. Now for some people, reliability is not the only thing that matters. Some people buy for style, some buy for performance, some buy for safety, and others buy for prestige. Now my late brother, well, he bought his cars based off the price per pound. Obviously, there are a lot of people buying Volvos these days because of the attributes that they offer. But if reliability is the most important thing for you, Eric, the statistics say that your Volvo is not the car for you. Good luck. Yeah, and I would agree. I've had lots of friends that have had Volvos. They're wonderful cars, but certainly they're not in any neighborhood according to the Consumer Reports with Lexus, Toyota, Honda, and Acura. And I can tell you this right now, if you look at the four cars that our family owns right now, two of those are Toyota. My wife drives a Toyota Prius, and my daily driver is a Toyota pickup truck, a Tacoma. And I've had nothing but great luck. It's got almost 180,000 miles on it. The truck looks new and drives new, so I can highly recommend the Toyota brand. But certainly Lexus, Toyota, Honda, and Acura are some of the most reliable cars out there. And if that's the kind of thing you're looking for, that's something you might want to consider. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for the car show today. My name's Jeff Wine. We'll meet you back again on the radio next Sunday, and you're listening to Sun Sounds Radio of Arizona.